Today's daf is Masechet Makot, and we're holding on daf Dalet, but we personally are a little bit behind. We get up to Omer Vira Merav, which is one line down into the large lines on Gimel Amud Beit. So the truth is that we're bringing things that do not have anything to do with the sugya. We're only introducing them here because we are looking at the various issues where Rav Yehuda was quoting his Rebbe, either Rav or Shmuel, and Rav Kahana responded. If somebody would open up the neck of a beged, so let's say you, many Rishonim, including Rashi here, learn that we're talking about over here, somebody, let's say, knits a sweater as a solid piece, and then they would open it, bend over, and make a collar. So that in doing this, you're going to be over on Makeh B'Patish, because you had an unusable kli, wasn't completed yet. The last thing that was needed to complete the kli was to open a place for your head to go through and to have a collar there. So you would be Chayev Achatis if you did this B'Shogeg, because of Makeh B'Patish, according to most. Matki Florav Kana, V'chima Bein Selim V'gufat HaChavit. I don't understand. How is this different? Then, I mean, as we know, the halacha is you're allowed to slice open a new barrel. Remember, barrels in those days were made out of earthenware. They would leave the top open, fill it, and then they would put on another earthenware piece and connect it with plaster. That was earthenware plaster. The halacha is you're allowed to open it. And why would you be allowed to do that if that's the equivalent of opening it up and now it's usable? It's obvious what the difference is. I mean, in one case, you start off with a barrel, and you had a barrel. You're not creating the barrel. You then went ahead now, and you covered it with a cover, and you put the cover on with a glue, with plaster. So that means that you're reopening the kli. You're not creating a new kli. So why would that be Makeh B'Patish? Mashen Ken over here, when you're talking about an unopened beged, where that's the last step that needs to be done in the initial manufacture of the beged. The initial manufacture, obviously, that's going to be making the kli. So there's no comparison between the two. Now, if this is the way of learning the sugya, then the implication for the halacha, let's say, Lagabi opening up milk bottles or opening up the soda bottles over there, you have, or the wine bottles, we have different types of caps. And over there, according to those Rishonim, the question would revolve around whether, in fact, the cap is considered to be a kli only where it's now usable. So that since when you, if you take a look, I mean, there's different ways of manufacturing, but if you take a look at the metallic closures, let's see, the wine bottles that are still used, the cheap wine, the machine presses down on the metal, which is now pressed around the glass at the bottom of the screw top, so that it really doesn't become a top until you break off that piece, because it was never manufactured in any other way. It was a piece that was now slammed down, and if you don't open it, you never had a top. So then perhaps that would be the equivalent of the formation of the top. Mashenkin, if you have, let's say, the plastic. Plastic is done in a completely different way. The plastic bottles that say on the milk bottles. So over there, if you look underneath, you see how it works. What you have is a one-way valve. So if you turn the thing on, then there's little pieces that allow it to click on. If you try turning it any other way, there's no way to turn it the other way because one piece of the plastic jams into a blockage of plastic that's on the bottle itself. So over there, obviously, you had a cap in the first place. And the nafkamina, now that you break it in order for it to open in the other direction, is irrelevant. That's like megufat achavit, and then there wouldn't be any problem at all. Okay, I mean, obviously, there's many other issues. I'm simplifying tremendously, but just pointing out some possible nafkamina is laloka. I mean, the other issues that need to be taken into consideration is the status of a cap, bechlal as a kli. Because if you hold that the purpose of the cap as kli is as a ceiling to make sure that it's clear that nobody has opened it before and so on and so forth, and protection, so then it was a kli originally. That was the kli it was. You're not now, you know, opening it up and using it as a cap. You're not creating a new kli. It was a kli. Okay, there's many worlds that there's bechlal no iser in the whole thing. The problem is that there are Rishonim, including the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, there's very solid Shitot Rishonim that understand that the issue of here is not referring to the sweater that had never been opened. Because indeed, if you think about what's Rav Kahana thinking, I mean, what's the comparison between a kli that was never completed? I mean, it's obvious that it's two different things. So they learn that we're not talking about a new sweater. Rav Kahana would never have asked that. What we're talking about is a sweater that was taken to the cleaners. So the way that they used to do things, both for identification purposes and also to ensure that it wouldn't be torn or stretched, is they would use this simple stitch to close it up, a basting stitch. You still do it in some places. And then afterwards, you just pull it out. And over there, if you open up that stitch, it's considered to be chayav achatas. So there, those Rishonim learned that the answer to Rav Kahana's question, over there, the connection is just as good with the plaster as it is with the material. So the difference is that the plaster, indeed, is a different material. So it's not looked at as one thing. But if you're using material to seal material, so then if you're breaking it, ain't nothing on me, that would be osur. Then there's a question, what would the isser be? Could be the isser is an isser of mechatech, not the isser of makim apatish. But in any event, you could see that then already you got a problem in cutting things, breaking things on Shabbos. There's a different issue. Because as long as it's one material, so it's considered to be the equivalent of poteach tzavah. Okay. Again, even so, there's many ramatir. But you could see that this is a sugya that has got a lot of input into the most contemporary of questions. It may be. I mean, that's a different question. That's a separate machlokes. There's many, many sub-questions. There are literally entire books on the question of open. Is a number of svarim that were published specifically about the issue of bottle tops. And Reb Shlomo Fischer, that was one of his major, he published a few books on the subject, but other people have published it. And he made it almost a lifetime fight to point out that it's mutter. Destroying all of the riots, well, including the riots that we just spoke about, in the Minif HaShlomo. V'yomer Rav Yonah Marav, another shita that Rav Kahana responded to in Rav Yonah Marav, Eshlosh is looking my. Now, before we learn this, let's just make sure that we get our facts straight. A mikveh has to be mayim that is not she'uvim, meaning that it's... Let's just close it. This is not worth it. It has to be water that was not contained in a container. If it's contained in a container, obviously, you can't make the entire mikveh out of that, but the Chachamim also created a new din, which is that if the mikveh begins with a certain amount of mayim she'uvim, before it reached the stage that gives it a din of a mikveh, and what gives it a din of a mikveh is that has 40 sa'ah in it, if there's 3 lugin out of those 40 sa'ah that it began with, that was mayim she'uvim, before it got to the 40 sa'ah, once it gets to the 40 sa'ah, you can pour it as much water as you want. But if it got 3 lugin of mayim she'uvim before it reached 40 sa'ah, then you cannot add more mayim that is kosher and think that you'll be machshir a mikvah. You won't be machshir a mikvah like that. It passes the mikvah permanently. So you have to start with 40 sa'ah without mayim she'uvim, or at least without 3 lugin of mayim she'uvim. So now the question is this. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav as saying that if you have 3 lugin of water, and now that water, if it had been in the mikvah, it would have passed the mikvah. So what do? You pour in a cup of wine. So now you have a 3 lugin plus the cup of wine, but it no longer looks like water. Now it looks like wine. So he says that if even a little bit of wine falls into these 3 lugin of water, and it looks like wine, umareim kemariyai, and now they fall into this mikvah, you add the mikvah, that does not pass the mikvah. Why? Because it doesn't look like water. It only looks like wine. What is the difference between this and colored water? Where it says beferish in the Mishnah, that's none. Rabbi Yossi Amir made seva that if you have colored water, that the colored water nonetheless will still pass through the mikveh, even though it doesn't look like water. Amalei Rava, what do you mean it doesn't look like water? It looks like colored water. You don't lose the name water because you have a little bit of green dye that had been absorbed by the water. It's still called Maya Detziva Mikre. It's called colored water. But it doesn't lose the shame Mayim. Mashenken, where you have wine in water, it is called Chamra Mizga Mikre. Obviously, it's talking about that you never had enough wine, that it gave it sufficient coloration, that people looking at it view it as mixed wine. And wine is always mixed anyway in those days. Okay, so now our problem is that Tani Rebbe Chia Horidu et HaMikveh. Now we have now a bride of Rebbe Chia that in exactly that case, we had three lugit of mayim, and you added a little bit of wine, that they pasled that mikveh. So how exactly now is Rav paskening against that bride? Omar Rava, there's no problem. There's a famous machloket Tanaim about exactly this issue, and Rav was going like one of those Tanaim. When Rav was speaking over there that everything goes according to the coloration of the wine and it doesn't pass the mikveh, so he's going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who, as we'll see in a moment, goes by the looks. And he says it doesn't look like water, it isn't water. It's called this other name of yain. Masha Inkein, where it says that they were moridu et hamikveh, that's going according to the Rabbanan, who hold, you look at the reality. With the three, looking at mine here, I don't care if afterwards you added more by adding wine, that isn't the point. Once you add the three, looking at mine, that mayim is going to pass the mikveh. Where do we see this machloket? It's not. Take a look in the Mishnah. Shloshet lugin mayim. So here it says, Beferish in Masechet Mikvaot, you start off with three lugin of mayim. However, our girsa is, and this is extremely important for the understanding of the whole sugya, Chaser Kurt. Now, of course, that's not the case that Rav was talking about. Remember, Rav Yerom and Rav was talking about a case where you started off with three full lugin of mayim shuvim, and now add one. Here in the case of the Mishnah, you start off with less than three lugin, a little bit less. That little bit less, you now add the missing liquid. Instead of adding water, you add wine. Shenafal atochan kurtav yai. Umar ehen kemari yai. Now, they look like wine. They fall into the mikveh. Lo paslu. They did not pasul that mikveh because of the fact that you don't have three lugin. But it's very clear here, if you did have three lugin, according to this shita over here, the Tanakhama, if you did have three lugin, you can't now change that three lugin and say, well, now it'll be kosher because I put wine into it. Fact is, you had three lugin. What's more, v'chein, shlosha lugin mayim chaser kutshav tov kurtav cholav umareim kemara mayim v'nof l'mikva lo paslu. Not only that, but if you had a little bit less than those three lugin, and you added milk and completed it to three loaf. And now it looks exactly like any other water. Doesn't matter. You don't have water. So what counts, therefore, according to the Tanakhama, is the reality. Do you have water or don't you have water? I don't care what it looks like. If you would, on the other hand, I mean, clearly the implications are that if you had started off with three complete lugin, so then the Tanakhama would have said, look, once you start off with three lugin, I don't care anymore what you do. You could try to change its color and try to make it be called wine. But the fact is, it's called yain. It is mayim. There's three mayim, three lugin of mayim, that passes the mikveh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. Now, so when Rabbi Chia said, horidu et hamikveh, that's true, according to Rabbanan. Rabbanan just said that if you would have started off with three lugin of mayim, then even if you added the wine, horidu et hamikveh. But Rav, when he said that it's kosher because it's the color of wine, even though you start off with three lug, he was going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says here in the continuation of the mikveh mikvaot, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, hakol holeich achar hamar eh. Everything is defined by how it looks. So what does it look like? If it looks like wine, So then it's not going to pass on the mikveh. The Rabbanim were not, because remember, this is all a gzera the Rabbanim, this idea you start off with relugging, you never have a kosher mikveh. Some learned that bechlal the psul of mayim shuvim is a Rabbanim. But in any event, certainly according to Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Nuri, if it looks like wine, it doesn't pass on the mikveh. Rav is saying exactly like that. Ask the Gemara. But wait a minute. I mean, I was making a big assumption over here, because Hamiboy Ba'alol Rav Papa, Rav Papa was not sure how to read the beginning of that Mishnah, according to Rav. Because the Mishnah might have said Chaser Kurtov, but it might have not said Chaser Kurtov. So Rav Papa wanted to know, the boy Rav Papa, when Rav said his halacha, did he have the girsa that we have? Namely, that the only time that the Tanakhama said that it's kosher is because it's Chaser Kurtov. But had you begun with three full looking in my mind, Shuvim, even though afterwards it looks like Yain, it doesn't matter. In which case, had it been Shlosha Lugim, according to the Tanakhama, it's puzzle. Which means that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes along to argue, he is saying that, I don't care whether you're talking about that you had three lug already. It doesn't look like water. No, looks like wine. I don't care. That doesn't go according to what's there. It goes according to what it looks like. The Rabbanim were not gezer in water that looks like wine, even though there are three lugim. Okay, so then that would mean that Rav was only going v'rav da'ama Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. According to this, if that were the girsa, then Rav would be saying alib Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and indeed what we answered over here, as Rav said, lokasha, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or Rabbanan, that makes sense. But why is Rava so convinced that that's what makes sense? I mean, because Rav Popov said it's possible that Dilma Rav Lotoni Chaser Kurtov Bereshit. If Rav, now, does not have the gears of Chaser Kurtov, so then what was the Tanakhama saying? Tanakhama was saying, you have three full Lugin Yain, Mariam Kemara Yain, then the halacha would be, they didn't pass it. That would mean Rav was going even according to Tanakhama. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, therefore, would only be arguing on the last part of the statement. Now, the last part of the statement, when we're talking about chalav, I mean, obviously, there's no chiddush in the chalav to say that we started off with three full lugin. Because if you're telling me that you have three lugin of mine, and you only added milk, and the milk didn't change the color, which obviously nobody's going to argue on that you go according to reality, you have three lugin. So the part about the chalav is only understandable if it was missing a little bit of the shoshes lugim. Now you add the chalav. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is targeted. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying, look, the fact is everything goes according to the mar'eh. That would be the way we would understand it in this, if you change the gears. So if that's the case, when Rav said his statement, the Rabbanan are saying, I need two things. I need that it should be the full amount, according to the possible gears, and I need that it should look also like it's water. In which case, we completely agree with this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, it doesn't matter whether you have the full amount or not. You could start with less, as long as it looks like water, because you added milk, would also pass. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying, Dafka, I'm arguing about the milk part. So if that would be the case, everybody would agree if it doesn't look like water, it's definitely not considered to be water. The question is, does it also have to be water? Okay. So then Rav would be saying according to Divrei HaKol. So then what would Rav be saying over here that it's very simple. Rabbi Chiya was married the mikveh because he was going Alibi the Rabbanan. Rav was going Alibi the Rabbanan. So I was like, well, what's your problem? Your problem is how is Rav answering the Rav in that way? Little puppy, be by Leila, Rav Pshitale. I know, what's your problem? Rav knew that Rav had the gears of Chaser Kurtov, like we have, and that the Tanakhama didn't require looks at all. He only required the reality, and Rav, who added that, wait a second over here, you also need for it to look like water, he was going, I'll leave the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which means that Rabbi Chiya, who was married the mikveh from its kashrus, was going according to the Tanakhama. Rav was never arguing about that. And therefore, there's no problem in the Braita, the story of Rav Chiya and Rav. Omer of Yosef, you know, I'm really shocked, said Rabbi Yosef. I was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't remember a word of this. This is weird, which of course isn't weird at all, because as we know, Rabbi Yosef got ill, was unable to review all of his learning, and there were many things he'd forgotten in Abaya. There were many, many places where Abaya reminds him that he had taught this to them. So he says, I don't remember any of this. Omer le Abaya, you taught it to us. Remind you of how it was that you said it. You said Rav does not have the words Chasek Utabereshin, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan was only being chelek a seifa, meaning on the case of the milk, and he was saying even though you don't have the three, you still passel it. And Rav was going al libet kuli ama when he said that if it doesn't look like water. Even the Tanakhama's made it, if it doesn't look like water that was kosher, according to his gears. And the next thing that we have about Rav Yehuda Merav, in this case already we're continuing to discuss the issue, even though it doesn't involve Rav Kana, because we already got involved now in mikveh and so on. So now we've gone from one level of non-sequitur to another. So now the reason that we're going to bring the next case is because it too concerns the inyanim of mikveh. So another thing that Rav Yehuda Merav said is that if you have a container of water, and this water falls into the ocean, so chavit melei amayim shenafla liyam agadol, that container, the water in that container, was obviously mayim shuvim by definition. It was in that container. Hatovel sham lo atalo tefila. So if you go to the mikveh in that location where the container opened and all that water is sitting, then lo atalo tefila, it doesn't help your tefila. Because chashina l'shlosha lugin shloya b'makom echad, we're afraid that where you were tevel has three lugin amayim shuvim. In the sea. But only in the sea. Dafka liyam agadol is only in the sea, because the sea does not mix. Tekoi v'kaimi. One second. There's too many issues that you don't know yet before discussing. Alva nahara ba'alma lo. If you're talking about a flowing river, then none of this would apply. Now, there's many issues. Let's learn it. What it seems to be saying is that in the ocean, all you have is movement, wave movement, but you don't have actual movement. A wave doesn't mix anything. Mashenkein in a river where the water is actually flowing. So there, it's going to mix, and therefore you don't have to be chesh. The problem over here, the manifold problem. I mean, first of all, water, even in a bottle that you put into a mikveh, as long as the top of the bottle is open, the water becomes tahor because it becomes part of the mikveh. And that's called hashaka, kissing. So you now kiss the top of the bottle to the water, everything is kosher. If everything is kosher, how could we possibly say that lo alta tefila, tainus tesis? I mean, if the point of hashaka is not that it's a din in tahira, the point of hashaka wasn't tevel the water, because it's not surrounded by water. The point of hashaka is I don't need to be tevel the water, because it now becomes part of the mikvah which I'm toveling. So how is it possible to say that there's something unique about those shloshes lugin that are in the middle of the sea? This is very strange, says Tosfos. It doesn't make any sense. What we have to do over here is change the gears. It's not talking about now water. It's talking about wine. And we should be gurus a bottle of wine. That's what it says, a barrel of wine. So that if it was in an ahar, the barrel of wine would be mixed. That's how he understands it. Now, of course, the entire language over here, Chachin and Shloshet, Lugin, and so on, all of that wouldn't make any sense if we're talking about now the Yayin itself. And why would we be saying that it's a getter of being tevel in the wine? We'd have to say that, well, even, I mean, there's certainly some mixing. So we're talking about white wine that doesn't look like Yayin, and that's how he understands. We're talking about white wine. Talking about white wine, the shadow would be whether it would passel over here. All right. What in the world is Rashi talking about if we're gurus? If you take a look in Rashi, Rashi says the strangest thing. Rashi says the reason that it doesn't, it's lo tefila, is because of the gezerah of someone who is tevel roshe verubo b'mayim she'uvim, that he becomes tamei for truma. Now that's on the surface, that sounds completely crazy. We're talking about a case, lo alta lo tefila, means we're talking about a case where someone was tamei. Abba, all of these points may address your issue if you would be willing to listen to them. So if somebody goes into a bathtub instead of into the mikveh. Even if he's just been to the mikveh, by going into the bathtub, he becomes tummy. Because the bathtub is now mayim she'uvim. Says, so what? Mayim she'uvim isn't tummy. The Rabbanan made a gezerah, and they made this gezerah because of the fact that people were getting confused and saying, well, I mean, the bathtub's the clean water, so that must be the thing that really makes us tahor. That mikveh probably is just to ensure that we're tummy, you know, then we get into the clean water, so we become tahor. So they made a gezerah that if, in fact, you go into the bathtub, then you become tummy. Now, once we make that gezerah, clearly what Rashi is trying to say is once we make that gezerah, the concept of hashaka is irrelevant. Because the Mayim Shuvim, where we made that gezerah, were always tahor. Was there any problem? They never were tummy. The point over here is the question of the reality. Are you in Mayim Shuvim? Not are you in Tahira? So this gezerah would be irrelevant to the din of Tumah V'Tahira. It would be irrelevant, therefore, says Rashi, the din of Hashaka. So once we're talking about the Mayim here, which would be Metameyu, we can't possibly talk about it being also Eila Latvila, because of the fact that this water has to be identified in a different way. Lagabi the dinim of being Metame. Okay? That's what Rashi seems to be learning is the issue over here, which we'll see later on has to be applied as the sugya continues. There are other approaches. For instance, there's some Rishonim who say that the din of Hashaka does not apply unless the water of the mikveh is on top of the water that you're being meshit. So if you take a Coke bottle, you put it under the water with the opening. A Coke bottle may not be a good example because there's a minimal size to, it has to be kishvoferet hanod. The Coke bottle might be too small, I never measured. But if you take a coffee jar and you put it into a mikveh and there's water in that, because it's under the water of the mikveh, then the hashaka works, according to some Rishonim. But in this case, it's the water of the mikveh is under the water of the mayim shuvim. Therefore, you don't have hashaka. Okay. There are other Rishonim that say that the issue over here relates to the Yam HaGadol and the Nahar, not because of the movement only, but because of a completely different issue. And that is the osmotic pressure differences between salt water and fresh water. So since if you're talking about the Yam, the water will not mix instantly until you equalize also the osmotic pressure of the water, because it's completely different mineral content. Because of that, in the Yam HaGadol, it's not considered to be mushak either. Because mushak means that it has to be naturally mixing, and over here, it's not naturally mixing. You can identify a difference. Some talk about the specific gravity of the water is different, and because of that, it holds together. Others talk about the mineral content of the water, and therefore it holds together. But the point is that it's not considered to be a completely different type of issue. Yeah. So, it's unfortunately not all that funny. So, according to that, there's a completely new issue over here. Identifiably different waters are the same thing as basically yayin and mayim in terms of the mixtures. All right, so we have four really different approaches that I mentioned so far to this question. V'chein. Now, it says the Gemara, there's also Tandinami Hach, there's also a Braita like this. Interestingly, in the Braita part, the Gersa seems to be clearly Yayin. Here it says, Chavit Bilaya Yayin. Rashi talks about that being the Gersa over here. It's that it seemed to be in the Tosefta, the Gersa was Yayin, like in the case the way Tosus learns the Chatchila. Shenoflo Yama Gadol, Hatovel Sham Lo Atalo Tefila, Chashinim L'Shloshet Lugin She'uvim. Over here, again, that's the question, why would it be Sha'uv? Shelo Yebemakom Echad, it's considered to be Fakol Olecha Charamar Et. And we're talking about Yayin Lavan, so it would be the equivalent then of Mayim She'uvim.
Now, we see always the yummy cakes of whiskey filling into the sea.
Cakes of whiskey? Now that, Richie, now you got Richie moving. Look at this. He's jumping into the ocean.
That's an environmental question.
As opposed to what?
Well, if it's heavy water, it sinks right away, and a second later it's filled by sea.
No, obviously it's only for a short period. We're talking about somebody went in there right after. Of course, it doesn't mean for the rest of time that water is going to sit there.
But if it's
heavy water, of course, is a different meaning. All right.
But the heavier.
Well, it's easy to figure out. Okay. Now, what's interesting is to continue, is that v'chein kikar shel truma shenafal sham tamei. Furthermore, if a kikar of truma falls in that place, it would actually become tamei, because we're afraid now that the guy who was tevel in it was metameit. Because if it's all staying in one place, then it became tamei from the man who was tevel here. If there's wine that's still there, so then it would be makabel tuma and would be metame the truma. So if the truma started off being tahor, it would become tamei.
But his toveling also isn't kosher.
Yeah, that's for sure. His toveling isn't kosher, but not only that, he would have been metame the yayin. Says the Gemara, I mean, what do you mean v'chein? Doesn't it follow automatically? My v'chein. Well, no. It doesn't follow automatically, because I mean, if we're talking about over here a suffix, and we're saying, let us go according to the chazaka. So if a person starts off tamei, it's lo al talo tvila, because we're not going to change his status. But I mean, the truma started off as tahar, so then we should say, we're not going to change the status of the truma either, because of the chashash. Kamash b'lan, that this chashash is considered to be part of the takon of the suffix legabe truma, the chumra that we have legabe truma. Which means, according to Rashi, it works out very nicely, because he's learning all along that what we're concerned about is the dinim specifically of the chumras for truma, and therefore atevo b'shay nichnas rosh v'ruba b'mayim shuvim is becomes tame. Of course, that's only legabe truma. So all din is a gezera for truma. You're going to have to do Sava Josh's job. You wouldn't go with my balloons today. I got much prettier faces on the balloons. You still wouldn't go.
Kikar wasn't in the water.
No, now the kikar fell into the water.
So he kikar.
What do you mean? That kind of heavy water is going to soggy up the kikar? Suppose we have now Edim Zomim. Now, we've been talking about, you'll notice we're gradually getting into, as we started beginning in Masada, what we want to get into is the question of the relationship of Malkut Arba'im in this Besechet Makot to the overall idea of Edim Zomim. We already saw that the Parsha of Edim Zomim, which is Merumas, Remez Ledim Zomim in HaTorah Minayin, in Vayayin Bina Kot HaRasha, is the Parsha of Malkut. Now the question is, you remember that before the Gemara had already raised the issue, well, what about the fact that it says, Lo Ta'ane B'Re'acha Et Shaker? I mean, why do we need to introduce a new concept of Vayayin Bina Kot HaRasha, specifically in Edim Zomim, if there is one of the fundamental lavim in the Torah, which God speaks to us about on our Sinai, do not bring false testimony against your friend. Why would I not get Malkus for that? So earlier the Gemara said, well, that's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, therefore we can't give you Malkus for that. I mean, the question is, once it says v'ayayin bina kot ha'rasha, as giving us now the option, as a default option, for Edim Zomim, that there's a din of Malkus, is it not possible to see that as the giyui, that the lo ta'aneh, in fact, v'ayayin bina kot ha'rasha, if what is left is only the fact that he's getting Malkus. Why is he getting Malkus? Because it says Lo Ta'aneh. So it's then that would tell me that Lo Ta'aneh is unique. Comes to Edim Zomim. We know that Edim Zomim is unique. We already spoke about the fact that it doesn't require Hatra'a. It doesn't require Hatra'a. And I mentioned to you even the Rishit of among the Achreinim, that maybe there's this very special relationship to the fact of the Hazama, the Zimam that's involved over here. That's what we call it, Zomimim. It's the way in which they are so rotten as to plan out this type of inhumane attack against another human being, that is a special type of chiyuv that doesn't relate back to the gidrei of the lav and to require hatra'ah. Nonetheless, where did the Torah provide for a mechanism to give hatra'ah? By telling you lo taneh, that is, becomes the azara. All of these issues are going to be discussed now in the sugya. Certainly, at least the way Tosfos understands this sugya. We'll see that there are those who argue. But the easy way to talk about the issue is to consider the following. I understand that if the Edim Zomimim said that this guy's chayef to be killed, and we're going to kill them, we're not going to also give them malchus. I mean, we have a normal halacha. You can say, come lebed rabbi, meaning we're not mechayef a person for two separate chayuvim. One subsumes the other. How about in a case where they said that somebody's got to pay? So now they said he's going to pay $5 for a loan that he never took. Turns out they're Edim Zomimim. So they have to pay $5. But in that case, do they also get malchus for what it is that they had said they were over on Lo Ta'aneh? Or is the kasher zamam, that's the end of the story? So that is now an easy case to see what the halacha would be. So me'idam hanu be'ish ploni, shechayav l'chaviro matayim zuz, v'nim zuz amimim. The din is, lokin umishalmi. They actually are going to be chayav malchus together with that tashlomi. Why is that? Shelo Hashem ha-mevi'an li'dei malkot. The name of the game, meaning the posik now, that brings them to the chiyav of malkot, which is lo ta'aneh b're'acha et shaker, is not the source of the chiyav of tashlomim, which is vasitem lo kasher zamam. Those are two totally different worlds, two totally different parshios, two totally different concepts, and therefore we have to deal with each one of them separately. So memela, you have to both give a malchus and pay. So says Rabbi Meir. Now how does this relate back to the sugya that we just had, which says that there is no chiyuv on lo ta'aneh because of the lav she'ein bo ma'aseh? So again, some learn that this is chelik on that sugya. Some of the Rishonim say this. Tosa says that obviously what the sugya before was dealing with was, why do you need v'hayim b'nakot ha-rasha if you have lo ta'aneh? But the sugya isn't saying once you have v'hayim b'nakot ha-rasha that now lo ta'aneh doesn't work. So v'hayim b'nakot ha-rasha shows us that despite the fact that Edim Zomimim is alav she'ein bo ma'aseh, there is malchus. Once the Torah told me there is malchus, makes a heck of a lot of sense to go back and attribute that malchus to the lav of lo ta'aneh. In which case, there's two separate parshas. One, which is the chiyuv of lo ta'aneh and v'hayim b'nakot ha-rasha. And the other, kasher zamam, lasot la'achiv. Those are the shtei shemot, and therefore, says Rabbi Meir, punish them separately for those shtei shemot. V'chachamim omrim. No, we have a general rule. Kol ha-mishalem enon lokeh. By definition, if you're paying, then you're not paying in your flesh. It's either a pound of flesh, or it's a English pound. But it can't be both. So Mamela, it's one or the other. Now, that we learn out from a pasuk, and that pasuk appears in the parsha of Aryan ben HaKot HaRasha. So there it says, V'pilo HaShofet, K'dei Rishato, to beat him as is befitting Rishato. That's only one Rishut, not Shtei Rishayot, which means that by definition, we apply Malkot where there's one identifiable thing that he's in, not two things. So the very fact that there would be a Tashlumin in the sugya means we wouldn't apply the malchus. That's what the Rabbanan hold. And that would be the full argument. Does Kedei Rishato relate even to Tashlumin and malchus? Or does Kedei Rishato refer specifically only to the corporeal punishment? Questionable. And what are we doing to his body? The other issue, that's a different question. But he's going to be paying back the money.
Why is this not showing to Kulei?
It relates to it, except that there's no, we don't say by Tashlumi in the din of Kamli Bidurabim. The Chachamim on Ribkola Mishalem in Oloke, by definition. Meinim on Obishvach, the Gemara asks elsewhere. I mean, so maybe just the Malkus and not the Tashlumi. But fine, that the Gemara discuss. Meinim on Obishvani, Shuchayiv Malkus Arboim. So in order indeed to move away from that specific question, the monetary to Malkus relationship. How about in a case where they're going to be Machai of a person Malkus? Do they get a separate Malkus for the Kasher Zaman and a separate Malkus for the Lo Ta'aneh? Or is that one thing? So since over here, this is the Malkus we view, and you see over here how we're exploring the relationships of Kasher Zaman. Maybe the Kasher Zaman will certainly incorporate even Alibi to Rabbi Meir if it's also Malkus, so that we don't necessarily have to be b'chalik between the two things. Or do we say, look, the bottom line is, we have on the one hand the Isser of Lo Ta'aneh, and on the other hand we have this interrelationship with the Zimum of the Edim that needs to be addressed separately. So here too says the Gemara of exact, says the Mishnah of exactly the same question. If they're made that is chayav malchus arba'im, turns out they're zomimim, they get two malchut arba'im. They're looking shmonim. Mishum lo ta'aneh b'reacha et shaker, u'mishum v'asitem akasher zomam. Two separate chiyuvim. So holds Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim, we only have malchut arba'im, lo ta'aneh is not mechayav separate. Now, Bishlam el Rabba, says the Gemara, Kedei Rishato Ktiv, Mishum Risha Achat Ata Mechaivo, V'yata Mechaivo Mishum Shtei Risha Ayot. So according to Rabbana, we understand the basis of that is in the Pasuk V'hoya Im Bin HaKot HaRasha. So there V'hoya Im Bin HaKot HaRasha, Hipila HaShofet, Hiko Lefanav, Kedei Rishato B'mispar, only Kedei Rishato, but not V'yata Mechaivo Mishum Shtei Risha Ayot. But according to Rabbi Meir, I mean, why is Rabbi Meir so sure that we shouldn't apply the din of Kedei Rishato even to cases of Momon Umal? Obviously, I mean, he's going to say we only apply it to, let's say, Malchus and Mises, Tosis points out. But that's part of the question. Why? Why not make it a general statement of how it is we will apply Malchus? Omar Ula says, Ula, Rabbi Meir says, look, we have a very clear example in the Torah of where the Torah is mechayev two things, getting malchus and pain. And we use that, therefore, as the model for saying, why would we understand Kedei Rishato to exclude malchus and tashlumim if we have an example of malchus and tashlumim? A very simple example, a motzi shemra. So somebody claims that his wife was discovered to be a non-virgin when he takes her, and therefore he claimed she had slept with some other guy after he had already married her, after the Kiddushin. The din over there is, if it turns out he's a phony, then he, first of all, he gets malchus, the Yisroto. Plus he has to pay this enormous fine for what he said about her. That's payment, and malchus, all in the same pasuk. So that we have the V'Yisroto, V'Anshuoto. The V'Yisroto is put him through hell by beating him, and V'Anshuoto is see to it that he pays to the nose. So just like by Motzi Shemba's Loko Mishalim, Af Kol Loko Mishalim, then this becomes now a model. Now, wait a minute. How could Motzi Shemra be a model? Malam Motzi Shemra Shekin Knas. Oh, we know that Motzi Shemra, by definition, is a fine. It didn't cost her any money. But we fine him. But the halacha is that a fine is always viewed as something that doesn't fit into the standard nature of punitive civil law, which you took $100, pay $100. Now, but over here, you didn't take anything. So that means that this is not civil. If it's not civil, you can't learn out from it. So how do we apply a din of a knas, which is unique, to the din of Edom Zomimim, for instance, over here? Well, that's not a problem. So like Rabbi Akiva, the Omer says Edom Zomimim is also knas. It may very well be true that Rabbi Meir generally would have said that Kedei Rishato indeed would have excluded paying and getting beaten. But Edom Zomimim, since Rabbi Akiva said Edom Zomimim is a knas, and we see that the Torah over here says when it comes to the knas and Motzi Shemra, you do both. So for Edom Zomimim, you also do both. Even though Lamaisa elsewhere, and Rishonim point out elsewhere, we don't learn from a knas. You can't apply the rules and regulations of one knas to another knas. That's only with the knas is the Rabbana. Because there it's applied as a social tikkun, each case in itself. There's no rules. But if the only issue is the fact that this is a knas, and you're talking about a d'oraisa, that doesn't cancel the fact that the Torah always speaks in terms of models. I mean, it's either klal or prat, or it's the ribui miut, but the nature of the Torah is that it gives you a model. So here's giving you a model of knas. True, but it would be a model that holds for all knasot, you see. So therefore, if Rabbi Meir learns it out from Motzi Shemra, would apply it to any knas. If Rabbi Akiva is right, Edom Zomim is also a knas. Therefore, the din of Kedei Rishato for Tashlumin and Malchus obviously doesn't apply to Edom Zomim. It's interesting that the logic, that's a beautiful statement, what Ula said. There are some that claim that Ula never said it about this case. I mean, we could still apply it. But that the source of what Ula said initially was a different problem. Ula said it, Ikedamat and Ula Aha, the Tanya. So here it says that in the event that somebody leaves over kachim till the morning, he doesn't eat it. Says Rav Yehuda, well, in this case, you will never be chayev. Because if you do leave over kachim, the Torah is saying what to do, burn it. And that would mean that the burning it is the thing, and not malchus. And that's called a lot ase, a nitak lase. This lot ase is connected to an associated ase. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo min hashemu ze, that's not the reason. You're applying the wrong rule. Even if it wouldn't have been a lava nitak lase, it's completely passive. How can you be mechayev somebody, malchus, for not eating something? It's mishum da'abed elav she'in bo ma'ase. Now, in our version of Ula, the second version, the Ula was a response to the following question. So you mean Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do get malchus, even though there's no act involved? The problem is, all of the dinim of malchus, again, despite the fact that they're learned out from Vayayin bin HaKot HaRashah, remarkably, there's a complete non sequitur in the very next words. Vayayin bin HaKot HaRashah, kedei rishato b'mispar. You wouldn't believe this, but it says, lo taksom shor b'disho. What? Absolutely crazy. Lo taksom shor b'disho has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about. And so we learn out from there that the din of chasimat ashor is put here in order to provide the model for what type of lavim are in bin HaKot HaRashah. One of the issues is that in the same way that the chasimat ashor requires an act, only things that require an act get malchus. Okay, so if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree, where does he get it from? What is his makar for giving malchus even where it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh? And in our version, it's here that Ula pointed out where he learns it from. Omar Ula Gomar mi motzi shemra. He learns it out from motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra is a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, and nonetheless lokin alav. Af kol lav she'en bo ma'aseh lokin alav. So there too, even though he didn't do anything, all he did was talk, he still got some malchus. Whoa, now wait a minute. But motzi shemra is a very unique case. Ma la motzi shemra shekein lo kel mishalem. I mean, over there, the Torah is saying both v'yisruoto and v'anshuoto, which is a violation of the standard dinim. So maybe over there, the same way that the Torah violated it in Lokin and Mishalmin, it violated to get even special dinim in terms of lav she'en bo ma'aseh. But how do you use that as a model? Elo amar esh lakish, gomar me'edim zomimim. Here things, the plot thickens, as you can see. Then we start off learning Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra. Then we come now to this new sugya, trying to learn Motzi Shemra. It ends up that it's actually Edim Zomimim that is the marker. Ma Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomimim is a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. If we view speech as being meaningless, as an act, and nonetheless, they're lokin alav. Av kol lav she'en bo ma'aseh lokin alav. Ah, but Edim Zomimim is very unique, is it not? I mean, they don't require hatra'ah, as we spoke about earlier. So that violates the normal dinim of the lavi. Yeah, but Motzi Shemra does require hatra'ah. So Motzi Shemra yochiyah. And, okay, fine. So what are you going to say? Motzi Shemra, then I'll ask you right away. But Motzi Shemra is lokin ha-mishalmim. Okay, so then chozer adin. But Edim Zomimim is not lokin ha-mishalmim. Yes, but Edim Zomimim don't need hatra'ah. Yes, but Motzi Shemra doesn't need hatra'ah. So, Lori Zekri Zev, Lori Zekri Zev. Again, we look at the common denominator. Tzada Shavah Shavah. What is the common denominator? The common denominator in both of these cases is that it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, the lokin alav. Af kol lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. That's the bottom line. No, wait a minute. No, there's another common denominator. The common denominator is they're both knasot. So maybe only where it comes to a knas, we say that a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. But, how do you know you're trying to apply this across the board and say by notar? Notar is not a knas. So why not say the common denominator is mala tzara sheben she kein knas? Oh, that's not a problem. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva's statement that Edim Zomimim is a knas. So Rabbi Yehuda lo sova like Rabbi Akiva. Well, even so, isn't there a tzad ha-shaveh shebehen? Ma la tzad ha-shaveh shebehen, sheken yesh ben tzad chamur, meaning, says Tosfos. Obviously, every tzad hashaveh has a tzad chamor. Each side has something, a chumra that the other side doesn't have. So perhaps the nature of the tzad chamor, says Tosfos, may be that there is a absolute departure from the standard requirements. That's the point. If you're doing the opposite of what you always do, any lav requires hatra'ad. It's not just an additional chumra. It's a violation of the law. You're going to give now somebody malchus without hatra'ah. Or on the other hand, you're going to violate the standards of one punishment, not two punishments. That's not a departure. That's something that's, I mean, it's absolutely unique. So therefore, we should take a look at uniqueness and say, look, neither of these things can be put together as a model because both of them are violations of normal standards. We don't use two places where we violate normal standards to say, and therefore they should be the model for normal standards. That's the point of the Tzad Chamur. Now there is another pshat that Tosfos suggests, which is based on the Yerushalmi, and that could be that both of them, when it says Tzad Chamur over here is, both of them share the fact that the Torah is being mechayev you for speech. And that is something that's unique. Maybe it's a din in speech, therefore. Okay. In any event, Rabbi Yehuda Tzad Chamur Lo Parech, he does not hold that the fact that there's a unique violation in any way violates the general idea of looking to the cause of the Chumrah. And that's the whole point of a Tzad HaShaveh. Is that a reason to say that the Torah is being Ma'akman Lav Shem B'Maisa? No. So it's not a reason. It's not, there's no commonality in the reason. There's no commonality in the reason. We still say Atzad HaShaveh Shebehem X. In this case, Atzad HaShaveh Shebehem is the fact that they are going to be Chayev and Alav She'in Bo Maaseh. V'yom Reviyon Omer Rava Poter Beit HaTzavar B'Shabbat Chayev Chatat Mat Kiflor Rav Kana V'chima Bein Zeh L'Megufat HaChavit Omalai Zeh Chibur V'Zeh No Chibur V'yom Reviyon Omer Rava Shloshet Lugim Mayim Shenof L'Tok M'Kortov Shor Yayin U'Mareyem K'Mare Yayin Poslim L'Mikva V'Nof L'Mikva Lo Poslo Mat Kiflor Rav Kana V'chima Bein Zeh L'Meit Zeva T'etan Rav Yosef Merit Zeva Poslim L'Mikva B'Shloshet Lugim Omalai Rava Osam Mayit Tziva Mikra Ochre Chamra Meziga Mikra V'otani Rebbe Chia Oridu Et HaMikva Omer Rava Lo Kashe Ha Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri Ha Rabbanan Detzan Shlosh Lugim Mayim Choser Kurtov Shenov Latocho Kurtov Yayin Umar Eyen Kemare Yayin V'nof Lo Mikva Lo Paslo V'chein Shlosh Lugim Mayim Choser Kurtov Shenov Latocho Kurtov Chola Umar Eyen Kemare Mayim V'nof Lo Mikva Lo Paslo Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri Omer Akol Olech Achor Amara. But how is Rava so sure that this is the approach of Rav? I mean, boy, by the Rav Papa. The boy of Papa, Rav, Tani Chasikuta Bereisha, Avo Shlosha Lugin, even according to the Tanakhama, would be possible. In which case, Rav Yochanan's only coming, Lameh Rakol Echachar Amara, where Rav would be Emek Rav Yochanan and Nuri, or there were Rav Lo Tani Chasikuta Bereisha. Rav Yochanan and Nuri would only be arguing in the Seifa, and then Rav the Emek Devri Yaakov. Lurav Papa mi boy lay the Rav Apshitalei. Om Rav Yosef lo shemim lo hashmaitza. I can't believe it. Om Rav Rav Abaye. What do you mean? You taught it to us. V'achamet okay, niyalan. The Rav lo tani chasikur de bereishin. And Rav Yochanan was only being chaylik on the safe and Rav yomek de v'yakol. V'om Rav Yiron Rav chavit mele yomayim shenafu liyam agadol. Atovel sham lo atalo tefila. Chayshin el shor shalugin shalo yibu mokom echad. Now this is dafka liyam agadol to koy v'kaymi. Avanahara ba'amal lo. Tani amiyachi. Chavit melea yayin shenafla liyam agadol. Hatovel sham lo atalo tefila. Chayshin el shor shalugin shuvin. Shalo yibu mokom echad. V'chein kika shor truma shenafla sham afterwards would be tummy. Well, obviously, I mean, my v'chein. No, but ma'o the day ma'at abuki gavra cheske. Ochu ki truma chazaka. Cheska. Come on, shmolan. Meinem on a beach plunge, a kayak of every time says, when him to some him look at Bisham Shoshim, maybe on the day Makot, maybe on the day Tashlumi de Ribi Mayor. The Kakumi Murmim call him a shalim in all okay. Meinem on a beach plunge, a kayak mark with a bright nits as I'm in luck with Shmoni. Mishum lota on every a high chuck of Shuma Sitma Kashes a man, de Ribi Mayor. The Kakumi Murmim in Lokin, Ella Arba im sufficiently, Murabona. Kide Risha Tokti. Mishum Risha Kata Tamakavo, Yatamakavo Mishum Stevisha Yo. Ella Rabbi Meir, my time, Omer Ula Gomar Mimotzi Shemra, Ma matzi shem ra lo kemishalem, af kolo kel mishalem. Ma la matzi shem ra shekin kenaz, savalak Rabbi Akiva, di amra enim zomimim, is also kenaz. Now, you get a matin lo ula hadatanya. Lo ta tiru menu ad boker, lo ta mi menu ad boker. Ba katub li ten esafer. Lo ta se, lo ma shen lo kin alav li Rabbi Yira. Rabbi Akiva amra lo men ha shem uze, mishum davi alav shein bo mas se, Cholav shem bo mas se, lo kin alav. Nem chol Rabbi Yira, sovar lav shem lo kin alav. Min alay, amro la gamar mati shem ra ma mati shem alav shem ma isa lo kin alav, af kol av shem ma isa lo kin alav. Ma la mati shem shken lo kem eshalim, el amro shlokish gamar meirim zememim. Ma irim zemem lav shem ma isa lo kin alav, af kol av shem ma isa lo kin alav. Ma la irim zonu shken in tzikhin atra'a, mati shem ra yochia, fazor din, lo rizek rize. Atzad ha shavesh ve, lav shem ma isa lo kin alav, af kol av shem ma isa lo kin alav. Ma la atzad ha shavesh ve shen knas, Olakasha, we don't sound like Rabbi Akiva. Ela Malat Sarah Shemish Nishman Tzad Chamur, Rabbi Tzad Chamur Loparich.